Folks, I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about this idea of community before we break into community. And community is one of those things. We did a sermon series many years ago called I Life, and we talked about I Work, I This, I That, and we talked about I Play. Some of you remember, we actually had somebody tell us afterwards that their first Sunday was that Sunday, and they almost didn't come back because we did the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship. Remember that day? We broke out of our pews and played rock, paper, scissors till we got to the end. And it was Phoebe Grins visiting from the U.S. and one of our guys from Ghana who were the two in the championship. And Phoebe won because she realized he only threw rock every time. He didn't get the game. He won all the way to the final by just throwing rock every time. And then she caught on. But my point then was I read a long description of play. But play is something you have to experience to get more than you can define it. And community is somewhat the same. And I want to challenge us with the idea of community and that it's so important. The song said, we are a child of God. We are children of God. We are the family of God. And we gather as such. We use different terms, the body of Christ, the family of God, God's chosen people, the royal priesthood, all those things that we can read in Scripture are all titles of what it means to be a part of godly community. And yet, I just want to challenge us towards the breadth of that and the depth that we need to seek in that. Some of you may not have ever been around a church before today. You may be in here for the first time. Some of you were raised in the church and raised by the church in part. And I've often shared when we do baby dedications that, I could tell you those people in my church growing up who were the ones to flick my ears when I did something wrong with my parents weren't there to do it. And Faye Hunt was the first one. I think she just liked flicking ears. She'd be five rows over. You do something wrong. Boom, she got it, and I'm not condoning that because we're not allowed to do that anymore. So don't do that. But come alongside a child and say, you know what, maybe that's not the best way to do it. Maybe we could do something different. But community for me has been a part of my life growing up as being a part of the church. But when I was a teenager, I walked away from the community of faith on my own terms. I had kind of just had enough of, not of God, but kind of just tired of our church. It was a small little Southern Baptist missions church. And as I've shared before, there wasn't a youth group other than my sister and I, and she was in deep rebellion, and my mother was my leader. So it wasn't, it wasn't the fun place to go. It's like me and mom having a Coke together, it's called Every Day at Home. So I quit going to church for a long time, and my parents allowed me that space for that season. I'm not sure it was the right thing. I'm not sure I would do it the same way, but they allowed me to. And then as a grade 12 student, I found my way back into biblical community. Found my way back into a youth group that was my peers. I was first through a parachurch organization of Youth for Christ and the Campus Life group that met in a home of a single guy. And just walked into that first week to 50, 60 kids from my high school, loving life, loving Jesus, singing songs, and just having community together. And I was sucked in again. And through that, through some relationships I've shared before and some of those leaders, I ended up at Bethany Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon, not far from where I grew up. My dad, I asked, told my dad I was going to this new church, and he says, what's the name of the church? And I knew my dad well enough to say Bethany Baptist Church, because that was the most important part to him. And he's looked at me, he says, Dennis, I'm just glad you're going anywhere on your own. I'm glad you're involved. And he was just thrilled that I was back in church on my own. Some 5 years later, when my dad passed away, and we had the funeral, I'll never forget coming out. We were behind a screen. It was kind of a weird funeral home. We were behind a screen. We couldn't see the people out there for the funeral. It's just an odd thing. I'm not sure why they did it that way, but we came out afterwards for a receiving line. And I was amazed by how many people from my church who had never met my dad were there. And I remember walking through that receiving line, and I remember I got to what I called the old lady brigade. There's like 19 old women from our church came to my dad's funeral to support me. I'm not sure there's 19, it's probably 4 or 5. But, it was a good size group. And Helen Holzman drove them. And Helen at that point, I don't know where Joanne is, Helen was probably like 91 at that time. And drove them way up on the hill and to the cemetery to be there. And I remember just thinking how precious is the body of Christ. How precious is the community of faith that gathers around one another when there's that need. And, you know, I love that. I love our church here. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for, and I heard this actually a few weeks ago when we filled out the little community cards again. Three or four people wrote, "I love our intergenerational church." And I think sometimes we forget that a lot of churches out there right now are either all young or all old. And we have consistently grown in all age groups. And I don't want it to ever be anything other. So young people who think our songs are too old, I'm sorry, but it's what we do to get along with each other. And old people who think our songs are too young, I'm sorry, that's what we do to do life together, okay? So suck it up, get over it, princess, and just love on each other. Honestly, it's not about what songs we sing. Amen. Amen to that. That's an amen-worthy statement. It's that we do life together. Now, I want to be clear here, and this is going to sound harsh. If you're a follower of Christ, my job here is not to make you friendship. My job is not to give you friends. And I've had people think that's my job. It's not. My job is to create an environment where we can have biblical community and care for one another and be there for one another. And out of that, I hope you build friendship. But my job is not to make you friends. And we've had people leave this church because I didn't do that well enough. Who was that? All right, Lexi, there you go. And the right time, too. Amen. The mouths of babes. That's community for you. I was at Cody Stegerman's wedding yesterday, and as we walked into McKernan Baptist Church, we used to attend there, Joanne and I and the kids, and as I walked in, I saw Bea Steinson, and Bea is 87 years old now, 86, I think she said, soon to be 87, and Bea and I were on the board together there, and she gave me a big hug. I was glad to see me, and once she realized who I was, changed the look a little bit since she saw me. And we used to sit side by side and you know, push for the right things on the board and say, you know what, we got to do this. And she was right there in my camp, and we had fun together. But out of the blue yesterday, she says, "I'm back on the board, and to support my pastor well, I need to know what area of ministry gives you the greatest joy." And I thought that was an interesting question. What area of ministry gives you the greatest joy? And I said, I thought for just a half a second, I said, it's when people who are not connected, have never been connected, or have not been connected to the community of faith for years, show up and feel at home, and then get more deeply connected. And I said, I love it when we have somebody come in, and we have it, you know. And maybe you, and I'm not making fun of anybody who may fit this category. We have people walk in and go, "I've never been in a church before. How does it work?" And I've had people come and say, "You know what, I like that. Can I come back next week?" Like, they have to have permission. I go, "Yeah, sure." And then, you know, they always ask for the second week. I don't know, they don't ask the first week. But the second week, they say, "What does it cost?" Well, we do offering, but you don't have to give. Just come. And to have people feel the sense of community. That they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to have the right clothes. They don't have to fit a certain mold. But they can come and be in community with us. And out of that, the hope is that they would come to know the God that we serve. Our community building is much more than about friendship. It's about truly being the community, the body of Christ, wrapping around those who are hurting, those who have need, those who want to grow. And that's a beautiful thing. I want to read to you a passage of scripture. This is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And this passage has been alluded to a few times in our study of Romans over the last number of weeks. But Paul, most likely the writer of Hebrews, there's a little debate, but I think it is Paul, says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the encouragement we have. And let me read that last part to you. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we've talked about this. Spur was never meant to be comfortable to the horse. It's to agitate, to get them to move, to budge towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, gathering together like this, having fellowship together, Bible studies, community groups, whatever you're part of, that aspect of it, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And God's coming back someday. Christ is coming back, and we see that coming. I don't know if it's going to be my lifetime or beyond or thousands of years from now. I don't care. All I know is we see our world in need of a Savior, and He is coming back someday. And we're called to spur one another on while we do that. J.D. Greer, the author, pastor out of Summit Church in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. We were able to sit in on a few of their services while we were traveling. I like his writing, and he's always said that one of the greatest apologetics for the gospel is the love that we show to one another. You can talk to people about the gospel and try to shove it down their throats and try to point it out, but if you just show them how we love one another and how we love them, that is the greatest apologetic for the gospel there ever is. So folks, I want us to be challenged with the idea that biblical community is not about being a part of a club. It's more than just coming and feeling like you're a part of something bigger than just yourself. It is that, but it's huge, bigger than ourselves. It's coming and being a part of God's kingdom. It's caring for those in the greatest of need. It's being there to prop up our Christian brothers and sisters when they need it. It's being there to connect with those who don't know Christ when we have opportunity to do so. And doing so in community and loving one another and caring for one another and sharing muffins together is one of the greatest things on earth. One thing I found working on the board at the food bank was that, you know, it's easy to think at the food bank you give food to people because they don't have food. And what we found out was we give a lot more than food out at the food bank. We give community, we give family life when we give food. Because if you don't have a meal around the table, you don't have a connection as a family. And when we give to the food bank and then they give to families, we give them so much more than nutrition. We give them a normal life of connecting with one another as we share in meals together. And we have to be reminded of the fact that God has given us opportunity to walk together. And this is for more than just friendship. It's more than just being a part of a club and paying your dues and getting your whatever you get out of it. It's for truly investing in God's kingdom. And I want us to continue to do that. One last story, and then we'll sing one last song, and then we'll pray and we'll eat, okay? But I remember years ago, and I may have shared this a while back, but in Portland in our church, there was a group of the old lady brigade. Nothing, I love old ladies, so if you're an old lady, I love you. And these were some of the greatest people on earth and some dear prayer support through the years for Joanne and I. But they would fold the bulletins. In the old days, we used to have bulletins every week, and they would fold it. We didn't have a folding machine. They were the folding machine, you know. They did it. And they were in the kids' unit one day, and I walked through, and I heard Ruth Bienert, who Larry Bienert is her husband. He grew up here in Leduc, retired pastor, since passed away. And she says, very intentionally, she says, "Gene, you should tell Pastor Dennis what you heard." And I stopped and I said, "Well, Gene, do you have something you need to share?" She goes, nope, it'll only upset you. Said, "No, you know, I should have walked away." she goes, "No, I don't want to share it." And Ruth says, "No, you need to share it." And Jean says to me, "Well, my granddaughter doesn't like to come to the youth group here because it's too clicky." And I looked right at her in the square in the eyes and I said, "You know what? You're right." And I kept walking. And she actually stood up and said, "That's all you're going to say when I say the youth group is too clicky?" I said, "You're right, it is. But it's no more clicky than this group right here." And I pointed to the old lady brigade. And I said, "When is the last time a 65-year-old woman walked in this church and felt comfortable in your group?" But I'll tell you, they've come and they've gone because they haven't connected. That's what Gene started to do. And I walked out of the room and Ruth looked at me and went, she set me up perfect right there to spike at the net. And she came up afterwards and gave me a big hug. And folks, I just say that to say, you know what? I think we do okay at community and loving, but we're not perfect. So you may have been here your whole life. You may feel comfortable here and you may have lots of friends, but look around. There might be somebody in this room who doesn't or hasn't. Don't let them get away without saying hi to them. And don't just do it because I told you. If you don't care to do it and you don't really care to get to know a little bit about them and their story, don't waste your time because they'll know the difference. Now everybody who's new is going to say they only said hi to me because the pastor said so. No, we are that kind of people. We want to be that kind of people. But as we spend 20, 25 minutes eating muffins together today, it's much more than food. And it's much more than friendship. It's much more than being about a club. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And older people, there's some younger people in here who need to talk to you. And younger people, you need to hear the story of some of the older people. We've talked about this. Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of an intergenerational group that you won't find anywhere else in our community. Be a part of it today. Let me pray for us real quick. Worship team's going to come sing one last song, and then I'll come up and give you 1 minute of instruction for coffee break, and we'll do it. Father, thank you for biblical community. Thank you for your call in our life to live it out every day here at LaDuke Fellowship Church, but more importantly in our neighborhood, in our sports teams, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we hang out, Lord. I simply pray that we would be able to just really just be your hands and your feet, that we would be your ears and hear the hurts of people, and we'd be your lips to give encouragement, that we would be the arms to come around and hug in a warming way in a time where somebody just needs to know that somebody else cares. And ultimately, Lord, the one who cares most is you, not us. But you've called us to be your children that we might show your love to one another. So allow us to do that well, Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.